You know, first of all, let me say that the reason why I'm using the podium today is because I need some help, some support. I got my notes. I'm cheating today, okay? So I can remember to tell you everything I'm supposed to tell you. The second thing is, you may not have been aware, Ginger's having cataract surgery. She's going through some of those surgeries, and so she, last week she ended up sick, but she was still recovering from that, and this week she's going to go and have the second eye done on Thursday, but she already told me, you know, you guys look so much better now. Yeah. Okay, just thought you'd like to know that, you know. No, she didn't really tell me that, but you guys do look good. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today, and thank you for allowing us to spend time in your word and to reflect on the things that are going on in our life and how your word applies. Pray that today, God, that you might be honored and glorified. I pray that your spirit will come, that your spirit will speak to us, and that your spirit will have freedom to work in our lives and remind us of the difference having you as part of our lives makes, and how we are to act and conduct ourselves and how we're to live, because you've made a difference. I pray, God, that you will refresh our relationship with you and help us to seek you more earnestly. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we're all busy getting ready for the holidays. Ginger talked about getting the church redecorated. Last week we got to celebrate our Thanksgiving and enjoyed a wonderful Thanksgiving meal. It was, by the way, thank you for those of you who spent time cooking and preparing all the good, wonderful goodies we had. It was a good meal. If you missed it, I feel sorry for you, but it was good. But the thing is over the next several weeks, we're going to be busy preparing for another Thanksgiving celebration that's to occur. And we have a couple weeks to think and reflect upon it as we get ready for that Thanksgiving meal at the time. You know, and what typically happens is we end up with leftovers and things that hang around. And by the end of the month, we're pretty tired of turkey, right? You know, Dorothy Gentry wrote an article in the Hartford, Connecticut, Kentucky New Times News. And she said that her husband is a really big football fan. And we know the football season's in full play, and everybody who really likes that's really getting into it. She said that she doesn't mind him watching the football all the time and stuff, but what she objects to is the fact that she calls the Thanksgiving leftovers replays. She thought that was pretty sad, pretty bad, but then she talked to some other people and she found out that the wife of a TV executive, he referred to the leftovers as reruns, okay? But what was really sad was whenever she talked to the wife of a mortician and found out that he refers to them as remains. Yeah, I know, that gets kind of frightening, huh? So I just give you some ideas, guys. That's not a good way to refer to the leftovers, okay? So I don't encourage you to take any advice from them. But the thing is that we're facing this Thanksgiving meal, and I thought that today in preparing for it would be good for us. I forgot something. Somehow I dropped it. It'd be good for us to prepare for Thanksgiving by reflecting upon some of the meanings. Came across a quote, and it's up here, and hopefully I'll try to read it to you. And you guys can follow along. I hope you can see that. It says, this is a quote relating to the Thanksgiving celebration and stuff. It says, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved the many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. intoxicated with unbroken success. Oh, I think I need to advance it. Oh, no. You did that for me. Oh, Jason's my helper, and he's all right. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to God, to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Wow, sounds like a great preacher spoke that, right? Sounds like something you'd expect to hear on a Sunday morning service or a revival message, somebody coming down and telling us, hey, our country is in bad shape. We've walked away from the God that we've loved, the God who has supported this country, the God that's blessed it, and we have failed to honor him correctly. Sounds like a good preacher said that, right? You know who it was? No. Abraham Lincoln. He said it on the proclamation of the National Day of Fasting, Humiliation, and Prayer on April 30th, 1863. One of our presidents. Isn't that amazing? It was instrumental in the formation, and he referred to it in the formation and declaration that ignited or established the national holiday of Thanksgiving in 1863. He established it to occur, made it, even though probably it was celebrated by many people and it had been around and since the Pilgrims on, that's when it became an official holiday for the nation of Thanksgiving, with that kind of an attitude. Day not just to feast, but a day to reflect upon the blessings that God had given to us, and to spend it in reflection, in humiliation, and in gratitude for God. The whole thing is based upon us recognizing that our blessings come from one who is greater than us. That we didn't create it, but that we have received God's blessing, and we need to express that gratitude for what he's done. You know, John Henry Jowett, he was a British preacher many years ago. He had a quote. He said, "Gratitude is a vaccine, an antitoxin, and an antiseptic." So what did he mean when he made that kind of statement? Well, he meant that gratitude, first of all, like a vaccine, can prevent the invasion of a disgruntled and discouraged spirit. If you practice gratitude, you kind of put up the barrier around you that keeps those kind of elements of being disgruntled and being ungrateful from coming around and help you to maintain a very positive spirit. It's also, gratitude can prevent the effects of poisons and cynicisms. That's, in that sense, it was the antitoxin, criticalness and grumbling. It keeps you from, and with those things enter your life, it can prevent those from becoming part of your life and style and susceptible to the effects of those. And like an antiseptic, the spirit of gratitude can soothe and heal even the most troubled spirit. And it's learning to practice those gratitude that keeps us in a proper mindset. And whenever we fail to have that gratitude, then it's easy to let those kind of attitudes infect our lives. Well, so what I want to do is just real quickly present to you a few things about what the Bible teaches about thankfulness and about that attitude of gratitude. I like that, attitude of gratitude that just flows and doesn't even have to think about it. But the attitude that we need to develop for this Thanksgiving season, okay? And you guys can think about it and reflect on it for over the next couple of weeks and see how it can change your life. First of all, the Bible teaches us that we need to learn to be thankful for physical health and blessings. In Luke, the Gospel of Luke 17:15-16, it's a story, if you guys remember, it's a story where Jesus comes across and he encounters the lepers, 10 lepers, and they come to him and they're crying out, you know, hey, you know, heal us, heal us. And if you don't know the setting, The lepers at that time were ostracized. They were kept out of the cities and out of the population areas. They couldn't go back and be with their families. And they couldn't spend time and interact with other people. They became very isolated and put off. They were shunned by society, mainly because of the concern that it would spread and infect other people. But the idea here was that these 10 lepers had come together, and they together approached Jesus, called out to him, and said, "Heal us, heal us." And Jesus responded and sent them off to go and present themselves to the priest, which was the custom that if they were healed, they would present themselves to the priest, offer a sacrifice, and then they would be able to be reunited with their families and go back into society. After he'd sent them off and they were on their way, verse 15 of Luke says, "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan." As opposed to the others that were Jewish, they didn't bother to come back and give thanks for that. But here, the Samaritan came, who shouldn't have been the one to be leading the way and teaching the lesson, but he came back with gratitude. We need to thank God for our physical health, but also the blessings that are in this world. I think it's important for us to take time. You know, I hear stories of people, different people, dealing with the afflictions that they have, the illnesses that they have. And I think, yes, we need to share that. We need to talk about it and stuff. But we need to be thankful. So oftentimes, you know, I have a few of my own physical problems. But so oftentimes I give thankful. I get out of the car, I pull into the parking lot at a store, and I get out of the car and I walk to the store. And on the way, I'll pass four or five people who are hunched over their baskets, who are barely puddling along. And I think, Father, how thankful I am that at this point in my life, I'm still able to walk and go into the store. Tom's with us today, and he's been struggling with this issue of walking for several weeks now. Isn't it thankful? Isn't it great to be able to stand up and walk? Just, it's something that we do every day and that we don't take time to thank God for. You know, we need to be able to do that. It's interesting. The story is told about Alan Gardiner. Okay, he was a missionary. And this was back in the mid-1800s. Okay, he was a missionary. And he wrote a diary. And in it, he told about his mission experiences. He had been assigned to what was referred to as Pitcairn Island, down at the tip of South America. Okay, now if you know where that is, that's not far from the Antarctic. Okay, and winters are extremely cold there. The nights are long, and it's a very difficult place to be. But he was acting as a missionary there, and he said that while God gives me strength, failure will not daunt me. He was persistent in what he was doing, and he died at the age of 57 of disease and starvation while serving in that mission field. And when his body was found in the diary that he kept, it was laying nearby, and it bore a record. Whenever you read through pages, it bore a record of hunger, of thirst, of wounds, of loneliness in his service. But the last entry in his book showed, with a struggling hand, a shaking hand, as he tried to write legibly, and it read, "I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God." Now think of that. There wasn't anything about complaints. There was no childish whining, "God, why'd you put me out here in this place? That's mine. I do those kind of things." Okay. No grumbling at the circumstances that he faced. Just a praise for God's goodness. Sometimes we look at our own situations and we say, well, why don't I have what he has or she has. The grass is greener over there. God, why aren't I over there? And yet there are people that remind us in the life that they live that God has blessed us with so many other things other than just the green grass. Benjamin Franklin shared a sentence which greatly influenced his life. He said, "Some persons grumble because God has placed thorns among the roses." Right? Well, why not thank God because he placed roses among the thorns? Perspective, you know, how you look at things, it makes a big difference. So we need to be thankful for the physical health and blessings that God gives us. We can also thank God for the spiritual mercies. Did I lose something? Ah, there it is. Okay. Psalm 107, verses 1, 2, and 8, 9. When you look at those, it says, "God, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds of mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." You know, how often do you pause and thank God for your salvation? You know, this is what the psalmist is doing. He's praising God because he's redeemed him. He's put him back into service, you might say. I like the concept of redemption. Redemption is about restoring the value, restoring the worth back into something. You know, and I've told you guys before, but I think it's the best illustration I know of the empty Coke bottles that were discarded back, and you guys were all there, back when we recycled, when we did the bottle collections and we had to pay a deposit on the soda pop bottles, and then we'd take them back to the store and we'd get a credit for those and we could take out more or whatever. And the idea was is that they brought back those bottles so that they could take and send them back to the factory where they would be washed out, cleansed, and then they would be refilled and capped off and then put back upon the shelf so that they could have a purpose again. So many of those were thrown by the side of the road. So many discarded and cast away. And we kids used to go by and pick them up. And to think that God, that's the same idea. Our society cast us away. Things don't go right in our lives. And our life ends up discarded and thrown into the trash and deemed as worthless. But God comes and he picks us up. He cleanses us. He restores us. He fills us back up, and he puts us out so that we can serve a purpose again. And every one of us who have been redeemed by Christ are once again able to be productive in society and participate. How many people have just, the enemy has trapped them and held them down in despair and held them down and treated them like trash and garbage and told them that they're worthless. But our God says, you are worthwhile. He says, you are worth redemption. And he has paid the price. Are you thankful for those spiritual mercies? Have you thanked God that he has provided that salvation? And that he provides the daily grace, that each day we can wake up fresh and new. I love it when the psalmist said, Jeremiah says in Lamentations, "It is the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed." You know, it's God's mercies upon me that takes me each day and gives me purpose and meaning in my life, that I'm not consumed. It is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God, you are faithful to every day provide those mercies fresh and anew. It doesn't matter how bad I was yesterday. Okay, God picks me up each day and gives me new purpose and new life. Have you thanked God for answered prayers? Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Have you thanked God for those answers to prayer? We spend a lot of time, you got a prayer request? Let's pray. And we pray for him. Do we ever take time to give thanks to God that he's walked with us, cities. One of the things we started doing frequently is just before we head out on one of these trips that we've been taking, especially as we see cows slaughtered on the side of the road here, we stop and we say, God, give us safety in that. I have to say, I've been amiss that I ask for that safety in the travel many more times than I come back and say, God, thank you for the safety of that trip. And maybe need to be focused on that as well. God is good in answering our prayers. And we need to acknowledge the times that he does provide his answers. And thankful, we need to be thankful for our Christian community, our family, our fellowship of believers. We need to be thankful for that and give thanks to God that he's provided that. In Philippians 1:3-5, Paul gave us an example. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray for the joy, with joy because of the partner, your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You know, think about it. A lot of times we get, you know, when you work closely with people, you kind of get irritated with them a little bit. You think, well, you know, Joe should be doing it my way, or why is this guy arguing with me about this, that, or the other? But, you know, if we practice giving thanks to God for that irritation, that person that disagrees with us, if we practice giving thanks to God and for the work that he's doing in that person's life and the work that he's going to do in your own life through it, then I think our attitudes towards one another would change. I think that God could work within that. But the point is that we have a fellowship of family here that stands behind us, supports us. You know, every day I see Ray out there. Now, I recognize I see it a little bit more often than a lot of you, because Ray comes over to my house. He's working in my yard, and he's working trying to repair my driveway so I can drive my car, and he's doing that. Now, I know others have helped in it and stuff, but Ray's been doing it consistently. I'm thankful that God has given him the ability to do that. That's stuff I can't do, and I'm just thankful that God has enabled that. And thankful for this church community and the fact that we do try to reach out to those around us who have needs. I've always appreciated the spirit of this church and giving generously whenever there's a crisis or a need. Yeah, we mentioned about the SNAP and the lack of benefits for families, and that kitchen wall was lined with food that you guys brought in. I give praise to you guys that you've responded so well. And I continue to thank God for this body of believers and your generous care for our community and for others. So I have some recommendations for Thanksgiving Day. Some things to think about, okay? And that you may want to apply. Ask God to open your eyes. Open our eyes. Open our eyes so we can see what he's doing around us to the in the lives of individuals. For us, particularly, how often we go through the day and don't pay attention to what we're seeing and what we're doing and what we're experiencing. And we walk past a place where God has blessed us. And we walk on with our eyes closed, never realizing the goodness of God. Over and over, we need to be able to thank God. Do you remember one episode of Leave It to Beaver? You guys know I like Leave It to Beaver, okay? All right. And I see a few others. Yeah, that good stuff. Okay, but anyway, one episode, you know, they've been playing with the idea of selling their house, and occasionally they've gone out a couple times and seen other properties and stuff. And what's her name? What's the name of the mother? June. June is there reading the newspaper, okay? And she says, oh, look, here's a really nice place. Maybe we ought to go look at this one, you know? And she starts reading the description, and it goes on and on, tells about, you know, and she goes, this sounds perfect. This sounds just like, and then Ward comes in and tells her, he says, if I'm not mistaken, that's that our realtor put that in for to sell our house, you know? And the point being is that she has the perfect blessing, but they're thinking about moving. That's the way it is. God has given us so much that oftentimes we don't pay attention to it, don't realize the blessing that we have with what we have. And we need our eyes opened so that we can see that God, the blessings God has provided. Ask him to change your perspective, that you can see it through different eyes. You know, maybe just listen to somebody else and how they see it, and you'll come to appreciate the fact that they have it. Okay, another thing is practice saying thank you and you're welcome. Just practice saying it to people. And I'm not, you know, we oftentimes go to the register and they're changing stuff and getting our change and going on, packing up our stuff and just, hey, thanks, and walk out. Have you ever stopped to just really take a moment to stop the transaction and say to the person as they're handing you stuff or whatever, and just say, get their attention looking at you and say, thank you for taking care of me. Have you ever stopped to do that? Sometimes you get a different response from people whenever you take the time to say thank you, or whenever you've done something for somebody and they thank you, to acknowledge and say, yes, you're welcome. I always like what Chick-fil-A says. You say thank you to them, and they say, my pleasure. You ever think of that? It strikes me as just an interesting way to say it. But we need to be aware of that. Rudyard Kipling, at one time, was so popular that a newspaper pointed out that he gets $1 for every word that he writes, you know. And so some college students thought they'd harass him a little bit, and so they made arrangements to send him $1 and said, give us your best word, okay? So he sent something back to him. He said, thanks. Thanks is a good word. We ought to do it. And, you know, do it now. Do it. You don't have to wait until Thanksgiving to start this. You could do this now and make you a little bit more aware of it. And I encourage you to do it now because we all know of experiences like this. But I was serving in one church, and I got called to the hospital for one of my parishioners. It turned out she had an infection. And I thought, oh, okay, we have antibiotics to treat that. And so I was there with her, and I prayed with her. She was so afraid. And I couldn't understand why. She was dead in 36 hours. And I never told her thank you for the good way she had treated me. It may not be that you're going to have a problem, but maybe that person won't be there for you to express your gratitude to. And I have a Thanksgiving Day exercise for you. Okay. Yeah, I'll get you guys going here. A good Thanksgiving exercise for that day, for Thanksgiving, might be sitting down with two sheets of paper, you know, and taking the time to sit down. And on one sheet, write all the things that you want, okay? You'll make your Christmas list or the things that you're craving for, or write down all the things that you wish were better in your life or different. And, you know, just everything that you're dissatisfied with or that you think would be a great addition to make things better for you. Just write that all on one page, okay? And when you're done with that, then take the other page. And as you start to write on it, write all the things that you find in your list and find in your life. Hang on. And on the enumerate all the things that you own that you currently have and you could lose. Currently have in your life and that you could lose, that you're grateful for. You know, just the things that you have. You have a car. I have a motorcycle. You know, I have a bed to sleep in. I have, you know, Yeah, I have a roof over my head. I have dishes that I can eat on. I have a dishwasher, yeah, other than my wife. And so the things that you're grateful for, that you can think of that you have and that you could lose, things could be changed. And I think if you're honest, you'll soon find that the list of the things that you have that God has already given to you, that you have, far outnumbers the list of the things that you crave and desire. Possibly a good exercise. So it's something that you could do. Jean Parrott, kind of humorously, suggests 8 things to be thankful for. Now, she's looking at this from her perspective as a wife who has to prepare a Thanksgiving meal. Okay? She says, first of all, she's grateful for automatic dishwashers. They make it possible to get out of the kitchen before the family come in for their after-dinner snacks. Okay? She says she's thankful for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house. They usually make them big enough to call in the professionals. Okay? She says she's thankful for the bathtub. It's the one place the family allows mom some time to herself. Okay? She's thankful for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. She says they're such a joy, you hate to see them go home to their own parents. She's thankful that we can still have a good heart-to-heart talk with our youngsters. They need a good now and then, she says. She's thankful for gardening. It's a relief to deal with dirt outside the house for a change. She's grateful for teenagers. They give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. And she's grateful for smoke alarms to let you know when the turkey's done. Okay? Well, sermon was a little different. As I looked at what was left in the Gospel of Mark, I decided to postpone finishing Mark up until after the holidays. Felt like this was a little bit more appropriate for us to look at having a different attitude towards Christmas and Thanksgiving. And I pray that this year you'll allow that gratitude to grow in your hearts and in your lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today and for us being able to share a little bit of humor, as well as to know your love and to be reminded of how well you take care of us. And God, we pause now just to say thank you, to express our gratitude for redemption, for reaching us in that lost state that we were in, and seeing the worth in us, pulling us up, cleaning us, and giving us a heart to seek after you. Thank you for your continued mercies each day. Help us to learn to show others that grace, that mercy, and that love. Help us to be grateful for all these activities, in Christ's name. Amen. We have a closing song for you, Jim.